Hello, welcome. Reverend Steve Morris here. Lovely to have you with me again. It's Sunday the 27th of September. Thank you so much for listening to this talk. I shall now do the reading. I'm going to just concentrate on the second part of the reading today, which is Matthew 21, and I'm going to read from verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did, and even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." You know, it's funny, isn't it? Just back into the Gospel of Matthew, I think I'd forgotten quite how tricky some of it was. It's quite difficult, isn't it? Some of it's quite complicated, and you realise, I think, why, you know, Jesus sometimes was misunderstood. But did you notice the first thing that is said here is, "What do you think?" Jesus wants us to have the faith with heart and with head. I've often heard people saying, "Well, how can you have a blind faith?" I don't have a blind faith. I have a faith that's backed up by all kinds of things. Partly, it's simply an experience. It's the Bible. But it's also really thinking through what the big questions mean and whether Christianity has an answer for them. And I'm absolutely certain that it does. It's intellectually, it's a respectable position, as respectable a position as being an atheist, for example, to be a Christian. There's good logic here, and there are good questions being asked. Let's look at the question here, and of course notice that Jesus so often uses images drawn from the workaday life around him. I mean, these days I'm sure his explanations of the kingdom of heaven would be around shopping and phones and all the stuff that we're interested in. But this was an agrarian economy, and so you find that the examples are drawn from the everyday life of the people that Jesus grew up amongst. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." Interestingly, he doesn't ask him if he'd like to work in the vineyard. He just says, "Go and work." That's the authority of the father. The father can tell you in this society what to do. You work for him. You do what he says. And isn't it interesting that the first son just defies him? "I won't." Yeah, that's a breach of all the etiquette, a breach of the way of honouring your father. He doesn't do it. And it looks quite serious. But later, we hear, he changed his mind. He has a momentary problem with knowing what to do. He makes the wrong decision, but he then makes the right decision. Now, I think that's quite encouraging, because all of us come to forks in the road, to crossroads, in our faith and in our life, and sometimes we take the wrong road. But that's not fatal, if you look at this. It's not fatal. The son gets it wrong. He defies his father, but later he changes his mind and does what is right, and God honours that. So I don't think we should be kind of persecuting ourselves for our missteps. It's not so much the first thing we get wrong, but the last thing we do right that really matters. The father goes to his other son and he says the same thing. And the son says, "Yeah, of course, I'll go. Yeah, I'm under your authority." But then he doesn't go. And that, as Jesus says, he asked them, the crowd, what does it mean? Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they say the first did it, but the second didn't. The second one is full of hot air, isn't he? And we all come across people who say they're going to do things and then just don't. And I think personally, I grew up in a family where we always did what we said we were going to do. It was part of the honour of our family that we weren't lazy, that we worked hard. And if we said we were going to help, especially one of our family, we did it. It would be a terrible breach of trust if we didn't. And I suppose it's a warning, isn't it, to all of us, really, that we don't just airily say, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that," and then don't. Well, that's not right. Jesus goes on to explain it a bit. He says, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Right? John came to show the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But these people, tax collectors, prostitutes, who are seen to be at the bottom of the pile, the most disreputable people you could imagine, but they did what was right. They did what they were told to do. And what they were told to do was to repent, to say sorry, to accept God's forgiveness, to change and to move on. That's what they did. And yet Jesus says, sometimes we just don't get that simple message. Now, I know that today the idea of sin and repentance and all those things is certainly not popular. It's not part of the zeitgeist. And I understand why, because people feel they've been very criticised. And, you know, that's never good. And we certainly don't want to be criticising people from a position of our faith. That's completely not on at all. That's just not what we want. But I think what this reading is saying to us is that, yeah, we need to do the basics. Do the basics. And this is what God asks us to do. The Father, he asks us to do the basics. And the very most basic, I think, thing of our daily lives is reflecting on areas where we've fallen short, not wallowing in them, not persecuting ourselves, but just knowing that we as adults live in a fallen world, and some things won't go right, and some things we won't be right. And we say sorry in the full and certain knowledge of God's grace, generosity and forgiveness. So it feels good. We can do it safely. You know, God's not going to persecute us. And then when we've done that, whatever we're from, wherever we are, we can begin life again. I think it says something, and again, it's not particularly popular, about being under the authority of God. I mean, I think that God, every experience I've had of his gentleness and joy, creativity, but I absolutely accept the authority that God has over me. And it doesn't feel a heavy weight. It doesn't feel a burden. It doesn't feel as though it's stopping me being the person. It's a liberating sense that I don't have to be God. I don't have to be my own God. I don't have to be right at everything, good at everything, strong at everything. And that's a real recipe for overcoming perfectionism. So I leave you that to think on. I really think the reading's very interesting. I think I'll go away and think about it some more, because I think there's something really interesting and deep here. And I hope that you found my talk helpful and encouraging and uplifting. Amen.